The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
You might have seen this story about the oldest player of Go in Japan. Go is this strategy board game, hugely popular in Japan. So popular, in fact, they actually have professional players of it. And their oldest professional player has retired. He is 98 years old and he says he had to give it up because he could only play it for about 6 hours a day, given his advancing age. And he felt he needed to devote more time to it. So it begs the question whether he's evidence of a dying tradition or evidence of the contrary, of the enduring attraction of physical board games. With me to discuss, Cathy Maguire is a member of Bray Board Gaming Group and Dave O'Keefe, the owner of Board and Brood. You're both very, very welcome to studio. Dave, I assume you're going to say he's evidence of the latter, the enduring attraction of board games.
Absolutely. I think, especially since COVID, people are dying to get back across the table, back to have real kind of interaction with people off screens, and I think the game board game scene has just boomed since then.
Do you know much about Go? Do you play Go? Go is very complicated, I understand.
It's pretty simple to learn. It's difficult to be very good at.
Oh, so is that it?
I learned it recently, actually, just a couple of months ago, and I learned it on my phone, which is probably not great from my side of things.
Sacrilegious.
Yeah, but I think the two things don't really compete, the digital and the board games. I think one kind of helps the other. So you can, like a lot of the games, the modern games that people play, you can also get digital versions of. And that kind of whets the appetite, I suppose.
Are there certain games, though, that people will always come back to? You know, are there classics that never go out of fashion? Or do things come in peaks and troughs of their cycles?
I think we have a kind of a shop side of things in the cafe as well, and the games that always sell are the likes of Catan. Wingspan, I think, is the new kind of modern standard that everyone kind of, when they start learning new board games, that's what they get into. If people come into the cafe for the first time and they're not really kind of au fait with modern board games, they'll always go to Scrabble, Monopoly, Connect Four, Guess Who, or then they'll come back the following week. They might play something a little bit more advanced, but there is the old reliables are always there.
Cathy, what are your old reliables? What are the board games you and the Bray Board Gaming Group come back to?
Well, I totally agree with Dave there. Like, I think Wingspan is one of the ones that has really gotten people excited.
What's Wingspan?
So it's a birding one. And
birds?
So it's great because you learn about all different types of birds and their habitats. So there's an educational aspect to it as well. But even the little eggs that you get in it and the way that you're able to roll the food dice, it's just really fun and imaginative. It kind of gets people's eyes. And what I really like about Wingspan is that when you're learning to play it, there's actually a suggested first play, because I find that sometimes when you're playing a game and you look at the instructions, you know, some people, it's so long, it's so hard to figure it out. And the best way to learn is by doing and by playing. And Wingspan has a suggested first couple of goes and first play. And then at that stage, you kind of know what you're doing and you know how to go. And that's why it's such an accessible one.
So why are you a member of a board gaming group?
I love board games, and I have a couple of family members who are very into board games. I have a cousin who I play like a legacy game with, which the game changes every time. It means that we have to meet up regularly with him and my other friends. And
sorry, what game do you play?
That would be Pandemic Legacy. So it's like a basic board game, but then there's these stickers and storyline, and the game changes as you go on, and there's different versions of it. We got into it before the pandemic, so it has positive connotations for us as opposed to the negative.
Okay, yeah.
But it's really nice because it means that you kind of have to have these fixed meetups to continue the game and to keep on going, and because there's a story to it. But then other than that, I have my family members will like some kind of party games and some more casual games. Like, we'd play Werewolf, or some people might know it as Mafia, sometimes when we have a big get together, similar games to that, like the likes of charades games from a hat, that, like, I think a lot of people make that up themselves and they just write down different words. So it's
kind of who's in the bag type thing.
And we play those in big groups. But other than that, like, I'd like to play board games more regularly, and my family wouldn't be as into some of the ones that they'd see as more complicated. So it's really nice to have this group of like-minded people. And even at the moment, I haven't been going as regularly, but still when I show up there, there. I feel so welcomed. And they have like the option to do kind of a casual board game, kind of the more party board games like Codenames and Decrypto. Or they might have a bigger game that people might say in advance, I'm going to play this, so I'm going to look up the rules so that we can just hit the ground running.
And would you have games that would carry over from one meeting to another to another?
No, the ones that they try to do would be all done within it, and sometimes you might get more than one game played, but they have started a D&D group within it that every,
that's Dungeons and Dragons,
which is very different again, but again it's a lot about community and about getting together and telling a story and continuing it on. So there are, I haven't like gone over to the D&D crowd yet, but I see like how much joy they get out of it, and they meet together and they have the whole story, and then they'd be chatting on the Discord about like, okay, this is coming up and we have to get prepared for this next mission or this next campaign.
Dave, then in the cafe as well, I mean, how conscious are you of keeping up with the board game zeitgeist, or when people come in, are they looking for the games that they already know?
It depends on who comes in. I mean, there's two different groups of people that come in. It's kind of, you know, board game curious, I suppose. People who just want to try it out, or someone, someone wanting to do something different for a first date. So we've kind of got all those people who come in and they'll pick something up off the shelves. They might pick up Twilight Imperium, which is a massive box, takes about 12 hours to play if it's your first time playing it. They'll put that back fairly quickly and pick back up Connect 4. Or we have the people who'll come in kind of 2 or 3 days a week. They sometimes bring their own games. That's just, you know, kind of hot off the press that they've kickstarted, or they'll kind of, they'll know in advance what they want to play and they'll have organized it through the Discord.
So when you said they bring their own games...
So they like they bring, you know, it's kind of like sand to the desert, I suppose, but they bring their own games in, their own board games that I might not have.
I thought you meant that they were kind of designing their own board.
There's a couple of guys from the Brave Board Game Group who design their own games, who come in and play test it in there. It's a mix of everything.
And do they do that because they get enjoyment out of designing their own game? Or is this like, you know, I want to create a piece of IP that I'll be able to sell and people will be playing all around the world and I'll become a millionaire?
No, most of it's for the joy. If they manage to sell it, make a million, I don't think they'd be opposed to that. But it is just that, you know, an enjoyment of game and a love of game, being like, well, wouldn't it be great if there was something that kind of scratched this itch? Or do I think like this is something that I've got an interest in? And I've been saying to people that like, if you have an interest in something, there's a board game for it. But then having said that, you know, is it the type of board game you like? So being able to say, well, I'm going to make one specifically for my interest in this style of board game. I'm a primary school teacher as well, and making board games is one of the things that the kids love to do. And there's so much like creativity, but also like maths and thinking and like literacy skills. So making board games is just a great thing to do in general.
Yeah, but there's like, as well, there's about 600 new games every month. So if you're kind of, you know, if you're making it, they're constantly coming out. And there's
it's a huge industry.
It's massive. I mean, I think it's 16 billion last year worldwide. It's due to go to about 20 billion. So it's absolutely massive. And that's just board games, not taking into account card games like Pokemon, all that kind of thing, or even war games like Warhammer.
And we started this off because of this guy in Japan who is retiring, where Go is a very popular game. How does Ireland compare to other countries? Are there countries that are much more popular, or where board games are much more popular?
I think we're miles behind, but we're getting there. So there's like, if you go to the UK, there's every town has one or two board game cafes. They've hobby shops. They've, you know, they've really kind of grasped it. If you go over all over Europe, America, Canada, it's the same thing. We're a little bit behind, but it's definitely
growing. Why is that kind of culture never taken root here?
I have no idea. But it's not. I mean, the culture was there, but there wasn't really the outlet, I suppose. And it's getting there now. I mean, there's another kind of board game cafe about to open out on the north side. There's Dungeons and Donuts, I think they're called, out in Galway. They have a couple of spaces. So I mean, they're growing, and the more options that are available for people, I think the more games they're going to discover.
Cathy, what makes a good board game?
Oh, that's really hard, because it depends. Like, I think that there isn't necessarily a secret formula for a good board game, but there is a good board game for each situation. So I think it's like, you know, if you're having a bunch of friends who aren't into board games, it's picking up something like 6 Seconds to Draw or Scrawl or Codenames. That's very accessible and fun and involves everyone. And then if you're meeting up with some aficionados and pulling out something like a legacy game or something a little bit more more deep. Like, I know Agricola is one that, like, you know, you can't just sit down and do it. You need to have a little thing first and get your headspace right.
Yes, some of them are just kind of spreadsheets with fancy pictures. You know, some of them, they're really kind of, you know, here's your board. You sit down and work on that for 3 hours, and then we'll compare notes at the end. And some of them are really interactive. Yeah.
And do you suspect that they might grow in popularity as well in tandem with, you know, younger people maybe looking for alternative avenues of entertainment beyond kind of the pub?
I think,
you know,
so.
Which I think we've all accepted is kind of, you know, is happening more and more.
Yeah, I mean, there's a kind of a big mix of people who come into the cafe. And I mean, the people playing Dungeons & Dragons are all in their kind of 20s or early 30s. And they come in to play games, to try all different things. But it's much, yeah, I think when I was young, when I was in my kind of early 20s, I think there was a lot more kind of pub drinking and nightclubbing than what's going on now. So they're definitely trying to.
And do you look down your nose then at people who just play these games on their phone all the time?
Not at all. Sure, I play them myself.
Do you?
I'd play like Board Game Arena a lot, and what I find is great is that it's good for learning board games before you get there, and playing with friends abroad, because you'll get them on a phone call, you'll get them on a Zoom, and then you can still connect with them even when you're apart.
All right. Well, board games should be in the Olympics is the assessment of one of our listeners. It can be so competitive. John says the best fun board game with easy rules is Balderdash. It's absolutely fab. Dave says all these new board games, who knew? I thought everyone just played Scrabble and Battleships. How wrong I am. Dave, how wrong you are. How wrong I was as well. Listen, thanks a million for coming into studio. Dave Ella, Dave O'Keefe is the owner of Board and Brood, and Cathy Maguire is a member of the Bray Board Gaming Group. 087-1400-106.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.